The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark.
Glory to you, Lord.
When the Pharisees, with some scribes who had come from Jerusalem, gathered around Jesus, they observed that some of his disciples ate their meals with unclean, that is, unwashed hands. For the Pharisees, and in fact all Jews, do not eat without carefully washing their hands, keeping the tradition of the elders. And on coming from the marketplace, they do not eat without purifying themselves. And there are many other things that they have traditionally observed: the purification of cups and jugs and kettles and beds. So the Pharisees and scribes questioned him, "Why do your disciples not follow the tradition of the elders, but instead eat a meal with unclean hands?" He responded, "Well did Isaiah prophesy about you hypocrites, as it is written, 'This people honors me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines human precepts.' You disregard God's commandment, but cling to human tradition." He summoned the crowd again and said to them, "Hear me, all of you, and understand. Nothing that enters one from the outside can defile that person, but the things that come from within are what defile. From within, from their hearts, come evil thoughts, unchastity, theft, murder, adultery, greed, malice, deceit, licentiousness, envy, blasphemy, arrogance, folly. All these evils come from within, and they defile." The Gospel of the Lord.
You could probably say this in any time in history, but being Catholic in this day and age is not always easy. Being just Christian certainly isn't either. Unfortunately, over the past decades within the church, we've downsized and watered down the faith so much that sometimes we can even disregard and forget the power of Jesus within the church, within the world, and even within our own lives. There is a great epidemic going on in the world today, far stronger and more devastating than the effects that maybe the current pandemic has. And it affects all of us and every person in different ways. Sometimes people call it modernism. I was thinking earlier this week of a definition of a modernism, at least within our context here, within the church. And the best definition I could come up with is sort of a Pelagian approach to faith, where we sometimes say, "I don't really need God, I don't really need religion, I can do this on my own." Now, modern things are not bad. Not all modern things today are evil, or certainly they don't have any intrinsic evil. Obviously not. Many modern tools, advancements in technology, medical advancements, and the like have revolutionized the way that we help each other to thrive. I don't know if you saw any videos or you were present at the moment when they lifted the dome on top of the new shrine of Blessed Stanley Rother. It was an amazing thing to watch. They assembled the whole dome on the ground. They built it there. And then They had the day that they raised it up, they had this massive crane. They attached it, they lifted it up, they moved it over and attached it to the shrine. And it was an amazing thing to watch because they said that that dome weighed over 60,000 pounds. And so it was a marvel of construction, of machinery, of technology. In a matter of minutes, they lifted it and placed it, and it was done. But even in the midst of some of these great modern marvels, is it possible that we have forgotten a bit of who we are, where we come from, the power of the Word of God in our lives? We have fallen deep into a world of self. We can rely too much on technologies. We can be lost in the many screens of our life. We can lose sight of the calling of Jesus for us to be disciples in the world. So look at the Pharisees in today's gospel. An ancient example of what might be happening today. The Pharisees were upset because the disciples of Jesus did not wash their hands properly. And this is a big deal for the Pharisees, for the Jewish religion. Purification and washing rituals are very important. But Jesus chooses in this moment to point out their hypocrisy, something that we ought to recognize often within ourselves. He says to them, "You have forgotten the meaning of your sacred washing rituals. It is not the washing itself that matters." We could use a modern example of today. We have water, holy water fonts in our church. How many of us come in, dip our fingers in, do the sign of the cross without thinking about it? It's become automatic. Could you explain to somebody why we do it? What is the ritual for? What is its purpose? Some of you may have some in your home, a little holy water font, which I recommend you should do that. Put little holy water fonts in your homes so that you can also bless yourselves there. When you use a holy water font, what is its purpose? The hope is it reminds us of what Jesus has done for us through our baptism. Cleansed us from original sin, gave us spiritual adoption as sons and daughters of the Father. Jesus claims us eternally in our baptism. Through that sacrament, we belong to God. Through our baptism and through the power of the cross and resurrection of Christ, we have eternal life. Now, when you come into the church and stick your finger in the holy water font and bless yourself, are you thinking of all those things? Probably not. I'm not always. But there's an external action that should speak to an internal truth, what's going on within us in Christ. We love to attach meaning to things that sometimes don't exist. We love to judge while not looking at ourselves. Jesus is not condemning these Pharisees in this gospel. He's calling them to conversion. He's calling them to see within themselves the greater call, the greater identity they have in the Lord. How do they do this? How does this even happen for us? Well, St. Paul starts us off today. He says, be doers of the word. Be doers of the word. We prefer to be spectators in our faith. We prefer to watch and listen, but the action of the gospel is what brings the gospel to the world. We can't be passive Christians. The Lord wants us to go out and proclaim a truth that sets people free. Now, we have to get out in the world and do good, teach others how to live well. Who will bring peace? What's the Lord Jesus? How will people know about that? It's us. Our willingness to talk about our faith and love in Christ Jesus. Who will show others what is true and good and beautiful? I like the simple story of St. John Vianney when he was walking to Ars, France, to start his ministry at the small, poor, and dying parish there. Along the way, he met this young boy. He had gotten a bit lost, and he asked this young boy, "Could you show me the way to Ars?" And the boy was hesitant. He didn't have a lot of trust in priests or religious people, or maybe not anybody. And so St. John Vianney looks at him and says, "If you show me the way to Ars, I'll show you the way to heaven." And a little example that invites someone into a hopefully a deeper relationship with the Lord. He was being a doer of the word. If you know the life of St. John Vianney, he was never a spectator of his faith. He lived his priesthood and his Catholic faith to the very end. Also, we have to be aware of what is within us. Sometimes there's these sins and struggles of our minds and hearts. Don't let them twist your desire for God. And Jesus even lists some of the strongest sins in the world. He gives us something to think about, to ponder. Evil thoughts, unchastity, theft, murder, adultery, greed, malice, deceit, licentiousness, envy, blasphemy, arrogance, and folly. I encourage you to study those particular sins, those particular struggles. Not that we need to know how to do them, but we need to know what they really mean. Because sometimes we're struggling with them and we don't know. They might be a part of our life, but we need a deeper awareness of how to root them out. He gives us this list, and instead, he says, instead of these things, let Jesus, his word, his love for you transform these desires into a desire for God. He's trying to teach us that the interior life is so important to all that we do in the world. A life of prayer, dialogue with God, reading and knowing the Bible, meditating and contemplating God's will for your life, seeking forgiveness and reconciliation. Let these thoughts, feelings, and desires come from God and not from the world. Don't think as human beings do all the time. Let God's thought, God's love, God's wisdom and desire be a part of your life. Finally, remember how God made you. He made you for greatness, not for comfort. He said, "Choose life, Choose God. Choose the good. Choose the will of God. Choose to live a holy life. God is with us. God will show us how to be modern disciples in a modern world who help bring many souls to Christ. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.